Father, we come before you thanking you for your mighty power in our lives to transform us, to redeem us, to love us, and to persuade us that, Jesus, that you are Lord. Even before we didn't believe that you were Lord, you persuaded us, Lord, in an amazing way, that we might feel your forgiveness and that we might enjoy your favor in our lives. We thank you that Roy is better, that he's out of the hospital, Lord, but we know that there's many that are sick, and we pray that you would comfort them. We think of Helen Carswell and others, and we just pray, Lord, that you would touch them and raise them up, and pray for those traveling today, that you would give them traveling mercies. Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for bringing the Wright family into our assembly this morning, and we know that they're wonderful servants of God, and they're faithful, Lord, servants of God, and they're committed to the Bible and committed, Lord, to one another and to your work. And we pray, Lord, that you would help bless us and bless them as well this morning. And be with them tonight as well, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for Denny's brother that's here with us and his wife from Kansas. And their father was our pastor years ago, Lord. And we thank you for bringing them back. And Doug and his wife, Lord. And we just pray for him as he travels that you would bless him and encourage him. And Lord, we just pray and ask that as we give of our tithes and offerings, that we would do so in a manner that pleases you, Lord, for we know that from you comes every good and every perfect gift, so that we might receive this. We pray for Ruth Ann, as she's up traveling, that you bring her back safely when she comes home, so that we can have a wonderful choir message next Sunday. And Lord, we pray for all those that have had surgery, that you would help them with Russ and Dick and all the people that are healing right now, that you would just speed that along, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Make
you
see why you stand up.
Oh, never mind. Stand up.
And great one.
Sorry.
Thank you. time for celebration. This is the time for praise. Raising our hearts in grateful chorus. This is the time for joy. This is the song of glad reunion.
This is the song of praise.
Lifting our hearts in sweet communion. This is the time for joy. This is the time for joy.
Present what the Lord has laid on our heart. It's amazing how this dovetails with Sunday school today. And I encourage you to be back. Man, I did not realize that. But, you know, you think about it, Job was the only Bible they had for the first 1,000 years. There's all kinds of really good input in Sunday school. I encourage you to come hear that. And this dovetails so well today. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Let me just introduce everybody. You probably know everybody. But this is Alyssa. She's 21. Josh is 17. And Sarah is 15, and this is Deb and myself. Bethany's not with us today. She's married now, so you probably won't see her again for a while. But we certainly do miss her. You know, we are here to this morning to celebrate what Christ has done in our lives. But you know, if you think about it, some of the greatest celebrations and the greatest blessings in our life come through some of the greatest hardship in our lives.
Look at Jesus, our Redeemer. He endured the suffering of the cross so that one day we can enjoy the pleasure and the promise of heaven.
The gift of the Bible. Many people sacrificed so that we could have the truth of God's word.
And what about the gift of the family? Sometimes we look at it as it just being the normalcy of life, but it is such a great blessing, which goes through many mountaintop experiences, and yet it goes through many valleys as well.
Even down to our most basic needs like food. There's so much joy in the harvest, but so much labor goes into it.
And what about the gift of the church? We get to come here this morning and gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ and grow in our knowledge of God's word. And yet the church endures such suffering that staying true to God's word when most people will reject it.
How about something as simple as the gift of a tree? You know, the trees can teach us a lot about our lives and our Christian life. You know, back in 1991, I believe it is, there was an experiment done. It was called the Biosphere 2. What they did was they tried to put the Earth's atmosphere recreated inside of an enclosure. The hope was to one day be able to take it to the moon or to Mars or something like that. And they found a number of interesting things, one of which is that trees grew very rapidly inside the Biosphere 2, but then many of them fell over. And when examining the root system of these trees, they found that there was an absence of something called stress wood. Stress wood is what gives a tree its strength. And they found that that is only built by standing against the wind and the elements and the harshness of the atmosphere. Now you probably see where I'm going with this. We as believers need adversity in order to build strength, just like those trees need wind and rain in order to stand and build their stress wood. And so, our theme this morning is standing firm in hardship and in trial. And who better to look at than Job, one who went through an awful lot in his lifetime. And so we're going to start by taking a look at Job. We're going to kind of do a survey. You'll get 3 weeks of survey, but this is a one-time survey of the book of Job. And first of all, we start by looking at all that God did for Job. He was a very blessed man. He had all kinds of cattle and sheep and oxen. He had a big family. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He also was very influential in his area where he was. But one of the things that is mentioned about Job that stands out is this. He feared God and he eschewed evil. And you know what? There's a lot of things we'll say about Job, but one of the main things is this. He had a passion for God. Out that Job had an adversary. There was someone in heaven, and it wasn't the Lord, it was Satan who was actually talking to the Lord. And God said, "Satan, have you considered my servant Job and how he serves me, how he worships me?" And Satan basically said, "Well, of course he loves you. You've given him everything. I mean, you've got cattle and land and influence. Of course he loves you. But if you took that away from him, he'd curse you." So God said, "All right. I'll let you do whatever you want to him. Don't touch his body, but do whatever you want." And so Satan orchestrated in one afternoon Job losing everything. He lost all of his cattle, all of his possessions. Even all of his children were killed in one afternoon. And at that point, Job falls to the ground and worships God. You know, he says, "Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, back in heaven, God says, "Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, "Well, you haven't touched his body at all. If you mess with his health, then he'll curse you." So God said, "Okay, go ahead and do what you want. Just don't kill him." And so Satan gave Job boils. How many of you have ever had a boil here this morning? Okay, I've had several, but never more than one at the same time. And let me just tell you a little bit about boils. I had one several years ago that got so bad I had to go to the hospital and have it surgically taken care of. And I remember those boils getting so much pressure, and it hurt so much that I just wanted to take a pin or a knife or something and just jab it to get the pressure relieved. And sure enough, we find Job, who didn't just have one, he was covered from head to toe with boils. And he's there at the city dump scraping his body with broken pottery. You say, why would he do that? Because the pressure is so great. This guy was going through a lot of hardship. And yet, even in that, even when his wife told him to curse God and die, Job says, you know what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not also receive evil? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did not curse God in all of those things. Well, why does God allow that? What is the reason? Well, we'll talk about some reasons a little bit later. But let me begin by letting us all know that there are some characteristics of trials that we need to be reminded about. First of all, we need to be reminded that trials have a purpose. If you're a believer here this morning, you know Christ is your Savior, you can be assured that there's a reason for the trials you're going through. We'll talk about those reasons in just a little bit. But Job 23:10 says, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And we like that coming forth as gold part, don't we? But it takes being tried in order to come forth like that. There is a purpose, and we need to remember that we're in the middle of hardship. Also, we need to remember that the trials are limited, first of all, in their strength. God promises never to give you more than you can handle. And that's a promise from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. We also find that the trials are limited in their duration. They will not last forever, though, even though we think the world has come to an end, life is over. The psalmist says it this way, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." But there's one more thing I want to mention about a characteristic of trials, and that is this. There is a protection within trials. If we humble ourselves before God, the Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And if we will allow God to minister to us even in the trials, there is a protection that God promises to each one of us. The psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 46 in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble.
You said, "Follow," I said, "Yes," knowing that your path is best.
I didn't know that you were leading deep into the night.
But I will follow.
Jesus, you're my place. Jesus, you're my place. My place of truth and safety and of grace.
Where things I feel are not dismissed.
Where peace and pain can coexist. And it's not even morning.
Sings for recreation.
I didn't know.
deep inside the night, shining Jesus bright. Jesus, you're my place of truth and safety and of grace.
Where songs of hope and love persist,
where dark and light can coexist, and it's not even morning yet.
So hold on, the day is coming.
Soon the sunlight will be flooding over every dark and shadow of the soul. Shadow of
where
the soul.
Where God's illumination
is the joy of our salvation. And every midnight fades into the morn, into morn. Jesus, you're my place of truth and safety and of grace.
Job has some friends that come and talk to him. They try to comfort him, but really, all they're saying is, Job, you've done something wrong, and you're being judged for it. Now, we know that's not the case, and Job said, I don't think I've done anything wrong to merit this. As much as I know, I'm right with God. And they said, no, there's something wrong. You know, Job, even all that back and forth, and there's like 30 chapters of the back and forth that tell us an awful lot about what they were thinking. But in all of that, Job says, you know what? I know that there's someone in heaven that knows what's going on. You know, there is someone in heaven that knows what's going on. And we need to be reminded of that. In fact, all of us today need to be reminded that there's someone in heaven that knows that we are all sinners. And he says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we will call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says we will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if we will repent of our sin and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we gain his righteousness. And then we don't have to be afraid of the one in heaven that knows what's going on, because he has provided a way for us to be clean and pure before him through Jesus Christ. And even though it was thousands of years ago, Job knew that there was one in heaven that knew the score. And he says this, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And if you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, you can be thankful that through Jesus Christ, you have a home in heaven.
Sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free.
I will tell the story how my love is saved to see. In his boundless love and mercy, he the rest.
Oh, he freely gave.
God finally steps in. And in chapter 38, you would think that God comes and pats Job on the back and says, "Oh, Job, you did great." But instead, God comes and starts asking Job a series of questions. And he actually shows him the world around him. First of all, he says, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Job, have you ever been to the bottom of the ocean? Have you been everywhere in this world? And then he turns his attention to the world above, and he says, "Job, have you ever counted the clouds? And what about the sun and the moon and the stars, the constellations? Did you set those rules in order? And what about wind and rain and hail and snow and sleet? Where do you think I store those, Job?" And then he points his direction to the world around him and says, "Job, what about the animals? Did you come up with how they give birth to their young? And Job, what about Leviathan and Behemoth? These were large creatures of their day, maybe even dinosaurs." And he says, "Job, have you ever tamed them?" You see, God points Job, gets his eyes off of himself and to the creation all around him, because creation sings the power of God.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn and run the course of day till evening falls in crimson rays.
His fingerprints in flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning globe. He charts the eagle's flight, commands the newborn baby's cry.
Stand and sing, Alleluia. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King.
Creation gazed upon
his face,
the ages spanning times and breeze. Unveil the Father's plan, reconciling God and man.
A second Adam walked the earth, whose blameless life would break the curse, whose death would set us free to live with him eternally.
Alleluia!
Let all creation stand and sing.
God and King.
Alleluia. Let all stand and sing.
Rejoice that the Lord is King. A few minutes about some reasons why God allows trials in our lives. First of all, the first reason is because of sin. And the Bible is clear that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so, if we're going through a hardship or a trial, the first question we really ought to ask is, okay, God, are you trying to get my attention? Am I doing something wrong, or am I not doing something I should be that you're trying to get my attention on this? But that's not the only reason for trials. And that's what Job's friends kept telling him. But we know in the case of Job, that wasn't the case. Sometimes trials are for testing, to build strength, like we said earlier, like in the case of the trees, to build that strength in our lives. You know that an untried faith is an unreliable faith. And so we need testing in our lives. James is very clear about that. Sometimes trials are simply for the glory of God. And that's the case with Job. He wasn't necessarily doing anything wrong that God was chastising him for. God was just showing Satan a trophy of his grace. And if you think about it, and even was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, Job was an encouragement. That was the only Bible that people had for the first 1,000 years. And how many people would you guess that Job has been an encouragement to throughout history? Hundreds? Thousands? millions of people that God can hold up as a trophy of his grace. Well, I want to mention one more reason for trials, and that is this. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 that sometimes trials are given to us so that we can help other people. Listen to this verse. God comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, you may be going through something right now that God is going to use in the life of somebody else for you to be a blessing to. So here's the point. Don't waste your trial. Nobody enjoys it. You won't enjoy the time, but learn everything you can and look for opportunities to share what God gave you through that trial with other people that may be going through the same thing. God is gracious. We're going to play a song right now, a medley of songs. We sang Amazing Grace a little bit earlier. But also this other song is called Grace, simply. And it says this in one of the verses. Your will cannot lead me where your grace will not keep me. God's amazing grace. Says that we should endure hardship as a good soldier. You know, this last summer, I was able to take my family to see some pretty incredible soldiers. They were the Blue Angel pilots. We went to Oshkosh and watched the Blue Angels. And these guys are pretty amazing. They fly these 22-ton machines over 500 miles an hour, thousands of feet in the air, and And sometimes they maintain a distance of 22 to 36 inches apart. Now, how in the world do they do that? Well, obviously, it takes an awful lot of practice. But they meet regularly and go over their pyramid. And I want to share with you the first point of their pyramid, and that is this. The number one point is North Star, center point. Everyone must be focused in the right place. The leader knows where he's focused. Everyone else is focused on the right spot in their formation, which helps it all run smoothly. You know, when God came to Job, Job's focus, even though he had not cursed God, his focus was on himself. And God took his focus off of himself and put it on God through creation and through all those questions that he asked. And listen to what Job says in Job 42, 5 and 6. He says, I had heard about thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. His focus was back in the right spot. We need to be reminded that as we go through life and go through hardships and trials, remember, the focus is not on us. The focus is on God. Josh is going to come and play a medley of songs, one of which has that idea, be thou my vision. Before, and we see the great blessing of Job because he stayed devoted. because he remained, and here's a biblical word, steadfast, which means stayed right there on a firm foundation. Job's faith stayed firm. It was tried, and it was hard. But in the end, God blessed him greatly. And here's the message for us. Hang on. If we will be faithful, and if we will stay devoted to the end, God's blessing will come. That's not a health and wealth Christianity. That is a promise from God. You know, Job is only mentioned one time in the New Testament. But the writer assumes that everyone knows about him. Listen to what he says in James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job is an example of if we will remain faithful and dedicated to the very end, God promises blessing. What a great thing to think about this morning as we close. I'm going to ask the family to come. In this last song, we want to encourage us to stand fast in the faith. And I love that one of the verses of this song says this: oh, for a steadfast faith in God, though great may be the cost, a faith that weighs the joys to come above the pleasures lost. Oh, for a steadfast faith.
Steadfast faith in God, assured and unashamed, the faith that moved the saints of old to face the sword and flame. Oh, for faith that follows God, though great may be the the choice to come above the pleasures lost.
Oh, for a faith that stands for truth,
for a faith though none on earth grounded in the faithfulness of God. Oh, for faith that presses on, though earthly hope has fled. A faith that rests its claims upon the power that raised the dead.
From a heart that longs to please.